The Air Force says the midget man veered off course and had to be destroyed 70 seconds after launch. A few weeks ago, a U.S. Army colonel stationed in the Philippines was shot and killed on his way to work. Communist rebels were blamed for the murder of Colonel James Roe. Now Philippine police have arrested a rebel officer in connection with the killing. He was identified through witnesses' descriptions. A second indictment against former General Richard Secord in connection with the Iran-Contra scandal. He's been charged with lying to Congress about making any profits from the arms sales to Iran. Secord has previously been charged with conspiracy in the Iran-Contra case. And as the latest indictment was unsealed today, Richard Secord was convicted in Virginia of driving drunk. He was fined and given a 30-day suspended sentence. Then there was the high school girl in West Palm Beach, Florida, who's suing a boy because she says he invited her to the prom, but then stood her up. The boy maintains he had a broken ankle, couldn't go, that he broke the date a week before the prom, but she says she was stood up the night of the prom. She's suing the boy for $50 for her shoes, flowers, and hairdo he never saw. She returned the dress without wearing it. On Wall Street, the Dow Jones closing up 8 points at 2383. This is ABC News.
As I was growing up, Mr. Walker from the Farmers Insurance Group of Companies would come by.
How's that new baby sister, Tim?
Through the years, he was always friendly and always reviewing my family's changing insurance needs.
Got a new car, Tim?
Now that I'm grown, I know why it's called the Farmer's Friendly Review.
So this is Tim Jr.
Check your phone book to locate the professional farmer's agent nearest you.
For the ABC Information Network, I'm Doug Limerick.
Want to test drive a jet boat? Come to our first ever on-the-water boat show at Pike's Landing Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, May 12th, 13th, and 14th. We sell Duckworth jet boats, the new leader for the industry, Starcraft, Blake, Ocean, and Riverboat, and Mariner engines from Mercury Marine with on-the-spot Mercury Marine financing. The number one car and truck dealer is now selling the number one boat. Come see us for outdoor fun and go with the winner.
Good afternoon, folks, and this is Jim Madonna. We'll be with you in just a few minutes right after sports with Alaska Gold Trail. Get your tape recorders ready to go. We have a little buzzer there. We're going to have an exciting show for you today. So stay tuned. In just 2 minutes, Alaska Gold Trail's right here on KFAR.
Hello, everybody. Johnny Holiday reporting on sports. Baseball Commissioner Bart Giamatti has scheduled a hearing for Cincinnati Reds manager Pete Rose May 25th in the commissioner's New York offices. No comment on that special report from a Washington, D.C.-based attorney who presented Giamatti his findings on the alleged gambling habits of Pete Rose. In the NBA playoffs tonight at the Garden in the Big Apple, the New York Knicks try to even up their best-of-seven series with Chicago. Michael Jordan's 34 points led the Bulls to an upset win over the Knicks Tuesday night. New York guard Gerald Wilkins looks at tonight's game as a must-win situation for his club.
This game is important. Definitely. This is on Thursday. It's very important. And we have to make do of it. We have to win. You know, it ain't over till it's over. And we definitely have to come out and jump on them early and establish something. Obviously, we still have to work key on Michael Jordan, keep him out of the game, and hopefully we can get it done.
Out west, the Warriors and Suns, even at a game apiece, they play game three in Golden State's floor tonight. At the Spectrum in Philadelphia, the Stanley Cup playoffs continue. Montreal, the Flyers, skating in game six of their best of seven semifinal set. Montreal leading 3-2. Flyers goalie Ron Ekstall is looking for his club to jump out and take an early lead against the Canadiens.
I think what everybody's talked about is playing with a lead. And, you know, I think we check extremely well, just as well as they do, and I think it's tough for either team when you get in a big hole to come out of it because of the way the other team checks.
Baseball this afternoon in St. Louis, the Cardinals squeeze past the Padres. Randy Carricker was there.
The St. Louis Cardinals won their eighth straight home game with a 6-5 victory over the San Diego Padres today at Busch Stadium. Each team scored three runs in the first inning. The Cardinals got two more in the third on a bases-loaded walk to Milt Thompson and a sacrifice fly by Tom Bernanski. Milt Thompson's RBI double in the fifth stood up as the winner. Once again, St. Louis wins it over San Diego 6-5.
And the Orioles have defeated the Oakland A's. Ted Patterson reports for ABC Radio Sports.
The Orioles 6-2 winners over the A's, snapping a five-game losing streak before a small makeup day crowd of 1,200. Mickey Tettleton, the hitting hero for Baltimore, with a six-homer and a bases-loaded two-run single off loser Dave Stewart. Greg Worthington doubled in a pair in the three-run fourth. Jeff Jeff Ballard wins his sixth with relief help from Greg Olson, while Stewart loses his first after six wins. The final again, Baltimore 6, Oakland 2.
Mark Eaton, the 7-4 center of the Utah Jazz, has been named the NBA's Defensive Player of the Year. For the ABC Information Network, I'm Johnny Holiday.
Floorcraft is having a gigantic carpet and vinyl remnant sale. You'll find savings up to 50% on beautiful vinyl remnants this Friday and Saturday only. Also watch for large roll specials on carpet remnants. Check tonight's paper for a complete listing of sale items. Don't miss the incredible carpet and vinyl savings this Friday and Saturday only at Floorcraft, corner of Aurora Drive and Phillips Field Road. Open 9 to 6 Friday, 9 to 5 Saturday. Visa, MasterCard, and Floorcraft Charge welcome.
Another good reason to shop at Fred Meyer's buffet. What have you got? What have you got?
Your Fairbanks Fred Meyer has great gift ideas for Mother's Day. From spring fashions to jewelry to things for the home, you'll find a gift that's just right for Mom.
Smart shoppers know we're the value store.
You'll find super value on spring fashions for Mom. See our wonderful array of casual and dressy looks in cool fabrics and fresh colors. Braun kitchen appliances make a great gift idea, or maybe a beautiful gift of fine jewelry. Whatever you want for Mom this Mother's Day, you'll find it at Freddy's.
One-stop shopping, that's our style. More choice and great buys down every aisle.
Make this Mother's Day special for your mom. Stop by your Fairbanks Fred Meyer for a gift she'll always remember.
You know there's always another good reason to shop at Fred Meyer today.
Good afternoon, folks, and welcome to Alaska Gold Trails. I'm your host, Jim Madonna. This is your radio show on mining and history in Alaska, past, present, and future. Most of all, my friends, if you'd like to talk a little bit about Alaska, its mining history, and its general history, just give us a call here on KFAR Radio, 660 on your radio dial, and share one of your most favorite experiences with us. The number is 479-TALK. That's 479-8255. Let's talk gold mining and history through the years on Alaska Gold Trails. We've got an enchanting guest with us here. Mary Binkley will be joining us in just a minute. But before we introduce Mary, let's do what we do each week at this time. And that's, of course, have our contest, which provides you, the listening audience, with an opportunity to win a 1 ounce silver ingot or silver coin from Oxford Assaying and Refining. You know where they're located. That's 208 Wendell Street. Oxford Assaying and Refining is very happy each week to give away a 1 ounce silver coin or ingot. And today, we have a very special contest for you. And it's interesting to me to be sitting here each week, and you know that generally my questions revolve around the sponsors of this program. And before I ever ask the question, the lights light up on the telephone, ready for answers. But today is a very special question. I want to know who the manager is, let's see, let me give you a phone number here, at 456-3967. I want to know the name of the manager of that business, but I also want to know who they are, where they are, and what they do. So with that in mind, I'll give you a few minutes to call their number, which is 456-3967, and find out who the manager is, and then you can call me here with the answer. And my number is 479-TALK. That's 479-8255. And while we're doing that, and you're gathering that valuable information, which will win you a, let's see, what does Oxford want to give away today? I think Oxford wants to give away a brand new 1989 Silver Eagle coin. How would that be? Where's Oxford located? They're located at 208 Wendell Street, and they're known, they got a byline. They're your precious metals people. So, find out who the manager is at that phone number. Once again, 456-3967. And give me a call here. My number is 479-TALK. That's 479-8255. And I wanted to tell you about an event that's going to happen this weekend. I understand that Jim Madonna is going to teach a gold prospecting class at the University of Alaska. That class will meet two evenings from 6 to 10, Friday and Saturday evening. And it will also have a one-day field trip on Sunday so that you can go out into the wilderness and learn how to find that gold and other valuable minerals. So if you're interested in that particular class, the last time to sign up for that class is 1 o'clock tomorrow afternoon in room, write this down, 401 of the Duckering Building on the University of Alaska campus. Or you can give them a call up there and find out more about the program. The number is 474-7702. And right now we're going to go to our first caller. Hello, you're on the air.
Yeah, Jim, this is not fair. You know it's Dee Church.
I do. Oh, you do? Mm-hmm. You know it's Dee Church.
I do. I didn't even have to call Jim.
You didn't have to call Jim? You certainly had to call Jim to win that silver ingot. Is that for sure Dee Church? How did you find that out?
Well, the number is 456-3967. Or 3968.
You don't think
right?
Yes.
And you can call and you can get the quote of gold anytime that you want to, 24 hours a day. Ray down there is, he's on vacation right now. He's a very good guy. Of course, Dietrich, she's one in a million.
One in a million, huh? Tell me all about what they do down there. What do they have down there?
What do they have down there? They have all kinds of coins. You can go down there and buy pennyweight nuggets or bigger nuggets, the ounce nuggets or something like that. If you have any gold, you can take it down there and they'll be happy to assay it for you or refine it for you, pay you for it. They do so much for the community and for the people. Really, they do.
And a lot for the mining community.
And a lot for the mining community and the miners, but not only the miners, but anyone who would go there.
You know, I like for you to listen to my program. Can I say your name?
Go ahead.
Doris?
That's right.
Thank you for calling me, Doris. You know,
I said it's not fair because it's one of my favorite places.
Well, I appreciate you giving us this call here, and now you know what you have to do.
Well, yes, I understand. I said it's not fair because it happens to be my favorite place, and
well,
recognize
that's all right.
The number
we
of
like
people.
For it to be your favorite place. In fact, is I believe that anybody who is interested in precious metals or gold nuggets or silver ingots or gold ingots or any of the ideas and concepts and information that surround the precious metals industry should think about Oxford assaying and refining for information as well as for acquisition of investment.
You know, we made a mistake, Jim. We didn't tell them where it was located.
Oh, I've told them where it was located. One time I told them it was located
exactly.
At 802 Wendell Street, and Steve Agbaba straightened me out in a hurry. Jim, you know, they're going to be on the wrong block. It's really 208 Wendell Street.
That's right, right upstairs.
But I'm going to get a lot of mileage out of that mistake, I'll guarantee you, Doris.
Doris, okay, Jim.
I want you to stop up here, get your certificate, and then take it over to the manager. What's the manager's name again?
Dee Church,
right. I want you to take it over to the manager over there, and she'll give you a 1 troy ounce 1989 Silver Eagle. How's that?
She's not only a beautiful woman, she's very gracious and very intelligent, and she would welcome anybody with open arms.
Thanks, Doris.
You bet.
Bye-bye. Ladies and gentlemen, we're here this afternoon with Mary Binkley, and I want to welcome Mary to Alaska Gold Trails. How are you today, Mary?
Oh, just great. Love this beautiful early summer weather in Fairbanks.
Well, it's been a little unpredictable to this point, Mary. We don't know if we're in summer or out of summer lately. Mary, give us, I know it's beautiful today. When you came to Alaska, have you seen some variations in the weather that were particularly outstanding in terms of the winter extending into the summer farther than it is this year?
Well, I probably have. I've been here, it will be 45 years this summer, so I've seen quite a few changes, but I'm not sure that I remember anything outstanding. I do recall the spring of 1948. Jim and I were living in Nenana. We'd just come back from the Seattle area, and that's when Nenana had a flood, and Fairbanks was flooding, and they shipped all the women and the children out of Nenana on the train, arrived here in Fairbanks and up on the campus hill, and it was quite an exciting time at that time for Nenana. Everything underwater except a little bit of gravel around the depot station, but the train could still get in and out. And so Fairbanks was flooding also at that time down by the hospital and the railroad area here.
Well, again, what year was that?
That was 1948.
In 1948, mm-hmm. We had another flood.
That was in May.
When was the other flood that came in?
I think everybody remembers that, 1967. I think there were many other floods here, too, but those were outstanding ones.
Mary, tell us, where were you born, and can I investigate what year that might have been, or is that an area of taboo?
Well, that's all right. I don't mind telling. I'm not old, I'm just young at heart anyway. I was born in Oregon. I'm the only one in our family who's a non-Alaskan by birth. And I was born about around 1926.
Around about 1926.
Yes.
Well, that's reasonable. Around about 1926. And tell us, where did you go to school?
In Oregon, a small little community northwest from Portland, about 60 miles.
What kind of environment were you in? Were you in a farm or just a small
community? No, it was just a small community. We lived in the edge of this little town. It had about 1,600 people and still has about 1,600, although the population type has changed. It was a sawmill lumbering area, logging. And now it's a retirement area more than anything else.
I see. And you went clear through the full 12 grades, is that right?
Mm-hmm.
What was it, when did you come to Alaska, and what was the reason for that?
Well, I arrived in Alaska in 1944, and I was just 18, and finished high school, and I came up here with a cousin, my first cousin, and she was a music instructor at the university. So I came up to attend school here in the campus, and I just had heard about it from her the year before, and I was in love with Alaska, what she had told me, and it lived up to every expectation.
What did she tell you?
Oh, about the adventure and the cold and the beauty of the snow in the winter, the northern lights and the moon, bright moonlight, and dog teams and friendly people. It was even more than what she told me.
Back in 1940s when you came here, you say it was even more than what she told you. What did they have going on in Fairbanks that was even more than what she told you? You saw the northern lights when you came here. You were probably fascinated by the color display of these lights, weren't you?
Oh, definitely. And I still am. When I see them now, I run outside to look every once in a while in the winter to see them, and I still get excited. It's just such a wonderful phenomena.
Uh-huh. Are you you also, when you came to the University of Alaska, what was it like? Was it Mary, I want to just take a moment here. Just one little moment. You've got a call here, and let's see what the folks have to ask you. Hi, you're on the air with Mary.
Well, I'm enjoying her program, and I want to invite her to Senior Citizens Recognition Day at Alaska Land, Thursday, May the 18th. It's an all-day affair. If she has any questions, I'll be glad to ask them.
Do you want to her to ask you questions right now, or would you like her to phone you later?
She can call me, or I can answer them now.
Do you have a question right now that you'd like to ask?
No, I wonder if this is Lena.
No.
Okay.
I'm chairman of the advisory board.
Oh, fine. I have heard about it, and I'll try to make that our
This is our fifth annual affair. It's an all-day affair, borough-wide. And we have a very interesting program, and it starts at 10 o'clock in the morning.
Well, good. Well, we are my husband and I are senior citizens, but as most of the senior citizens are, we're still young at heart, but
that's
we're
right.
Fun to get together with them.
We have an art show, which we call the Young and Heart Art Show.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Just a moment, if you would like to give us a phone number where others could phone to inquire about the meeting.
My number is 488-2455.
488-2455.
Yes, we have a 9-member board, but I don't have the other numbers right with me.
Okay, but if people would like more information regarding the meeting, they can call you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for the call.
You bet. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, maybe it would be appropriate right now to hear from some of the people who support Alaska Gold Trail, if that's possible. And then on the other hand, maybe it's not possible. So, Mary, let me ask you a couple of questions regarding the environment which you came into back in the early 40s, which you came to Fairbanks, and I've heard a lot of stories about how people travel back and forth to Fairbanks during the winter time. Did they have a train that went back and forth from the town to the university at that time?
I don't believe so. Not when I was going there. Just the bus, and that was operated by Paul Griman. And he was always dependable. It was there, and it was pretty much on time. We all knew by heart the schedule of the buses into town, and the roads were not the best. The old college road, that's the way we went, and at least during breakup time, all during the month of April, it was pretty hectic getting to town on the bus, because many times there had to be a bulldozer to pull the cars and the buses through the really soft permafrost areas.
I heard a lot of stories about how the buses would get buried to the axles and they had to get the cats out to pull them through.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and how big was the university at that time? Was it we know we have a lot of new buildings today, but what was it like back in the early 40s?
Well, it was pretty small. There was one nice dormitory, 3 stories, Harriet Hess Hall. That was the women's dormitory. And then there were 2 wooden ones, the main dorm and the club dorm. Mm-hmm. And then there was a unit 5 across, sort of attached to the Eielson building, mm-hmm. that area that some of the men stayed in.
Mm-hmm. Was the Brooks building there at that time?
No, none of those buildings.
None
it was the Eielson building and the old building that was the library and the gymnasium, the wooden building, and I think it's called, it isn't Signature Hall, but...
Well, it's Signers Hall.
Signers Hall.
That was the gymnasium, I
think. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And the library was up mm-hmm. above.
I see. Well, look, we're going to try this one more time. We want to take a look at some of our sponsors here.
Plaza Cleaners and Laundry in Washington Plaza is your one-stop dry cleaning and laundromat center. Great hours, even no time limit showers. Clean, modern facilities with an experienced staff that can help you with that difficult dry cleaning problem. Plaza Cleaners and Laundry has high extraction washers that use less detergent and save you on drying time. There's a play area for the kids and free coffee for you while you do your laundry. Stop by Plaza Cleaners and Laundry anytime 7 days a week from 7 a.m. to 11 p.m. in Washington Plaza.
GCI presents the Alaskom Shuffle.
Who drops the race outside and raises the race instead? Manipulates the difference so it's hard to calculate. Who does the money shuffle turning everything around? Monopoly is doing great. They do the whole financial whole they do the whole to keep the competition out.
Petrolane, your Fairbanks propane dealer, wants to help you wish Mom a happy Mother's Day. Just go on down to 2319 South Cushman and let them show you their great electronic ignition propane ranges. These Rangers save on fuel costs and have instant temperature control. You get inexpensive clean cooking. Buy one of these state-of-the-art cooking ranges and get a free 100-pound propane bottle and 24 gallons of propane. Show Mom how much you care. Better hurry. They only have three of these great ranges left. That's Petrol Lane, South Cushman, next door to 7-Eleven.
I'd like to take a minute to let all my friends here in the interior of Alaska know about the Days Inn Motel in Anchorage, Alaska. Whether you're traveling for business or pleasure, at the Days Inn Anchorage, you can expect personal service, quality accommodations, and affordable rates. Some of the conveniences that you will expect to find at the Days Inn include an airport limousine, airport courtesy telephone, a 24-hour restaurant, free local calls, and get this, an exercise facility, and of course, a lounge. Now, Days Inn is located, centrally located, at 321 East 5th Avenue. That's 5th and Cordova in Anchorage, Alaska. For reservations, you need but to call their toll-free number at 1-800-325-2525. Once again, their toll-free number is 1-800-325-2525, and tell them you heard about them from Jim on Alaska Gold Trails right here on KFAR Radio. Once again, folks, we're here with Mary Binkley. If you have a question of Mary or care to make a comment on Alaska Gold Trails, our number here is 479-TALK. That's 479-8255. Mary, we were talking about the University of Alaska and the buildings that were there. It was kind of small in comparison to what it is today, wasn't it?
Very much so. That first year that I was there, there were less than 100 students that lived on campus.
Less than 100 on campus?
I think that was the total enrollment, in fact, less than 100. And there were 13 new freshmen that year. I was one of the 13.
Is that right? Tell us, what was, did they have kind of an introductory type festivity for the entering freshmen each year? And if so, what would that be?
Well, we did have, and I think any of the people who went to school here in the earlier years of the University of Alaska remember that, the traditional bonfire. And Dr. Bunnell, of course, was the first president and still the president when I was going to school in the 40s. And every September, usually mid to late September, the freshmen would gather all burnable material that they could find, old boards and logs and old tires, anything, and build this huge bonfire right on the hillside where the old main building used to be. And I think the Nail Building is more or less in that same location now. And then we built individual bonfires around that. And that evening, a Saturday night, when we'd have the bonfire, and we'd have to protect it ahead of time so the upperclassmen and the sophomores wouldn't come and start it before the big bonfire night. And Dr. Bunnell always talked to the students in a more serious vein about education and the importance of it. And this big central bonfire signified the fire of knowledge. And then our individual bonfires, as we would go around to the main bonfire after it was lit and have a long stick, and then we would take that fire of knowledge to our own little individual bonfires and light them. And it was quite symbolic and a wonderful tradition. But as the university grew, that became a sort of an impossible thing and to do, to continue, as the freshman classes grew to hundreds and hundreds.
We've got a call, Mary, but before we take the call, I'd like to ask just one question.
Mm-hmm.
Were the sophomores ever successful in lighting the fire before the night of the festivities?
I think that there were a few years when they did that, and I don't know if it all burned out, but there were times I think that did happen.
Hi, you're on Alaska Gold Trails with Mary Binkley.
Well, good afternoon. I'd sure like to have Mary explain a little bit of the history of the riverboating on the waterways in Alaska here. And also, maybe she could expound a little bit on the four pretty wonderful damn children that she's reared in this town that she should be very proud of. And not to mention little Johnny that finally saw the light at the end of the tunnel and was very instrumental in getting the Elf redone down in Juneau just very recently. Without his key vote, it would have been a very touchy situation, and he held out to the last minute, but I must give him credit for a very well thought out final vote on that issue. And with that, I'll let Mary maybe expound on her family life, not to mention the from the beginning to the end of the riverboat discovery business. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Do you know this person, Mary?
Well, it sounds familiar, but I don't know who it was.
Well, he knows you. Why don't you give us a little background on answer his questions.
Okay, well, on the river boating, I don't know too much about early river boating, just what I've heard and read from others. My husband started in 1939 in Wrangell in Alaska in river boating, and then came to the interior in 1940, worked for George Black and for Clyde Day, and then operated boats for the military during World War II. And so he had quite a bit of background in it by the time we were married in 1947. And then in 1950, through the encouragement of Chuck West, who had a travel agency locally, wanted to have something more for people to do in Fairbanks than just the city sightseeing, he encouraged us to buy this little surplus boat that the Episcopal Church had for sale. It was called the Godspeed. It was a river cruiser. And so my husband rebuilt it, expanded it during the winter of 49-50, the spring of 50, and had it operating and authorized and inspected by the Coast Guard to carry 25 passengers. So that summer, we started with the little Godspeed, going from down on the lower Chena River, on down the Tanana, quite a ways, visiting some fish camps and old timers along the way, and sometimes had 5 and 6 hour trips. And then we did it as an experiment, and we made our payments that fall and had maybe $100 or $200 to spare, which seemed like a great second job for us. My husband was working nights at the power plant that time. And then we continued doing it as a summer, a second job, and bought the boat ourselves. And then by the late, I think in 1954, that might have been the last year that the Alaska Steamship was carrying passengers, we were really outgrowing the little Godspeed, making a morning and an afternoon trip. And so we decided to build something and wanted it more Alaskana looking. So my husband constructed Discovery One in our backyard in 1955 that summer. Looked considerably different, but it was 50 passengers. So we had doubled our capacity, and we thought, boy, we're set for many years now. And before long, we were cutting Discovery One in half and adding 10 feet to it and widening it by 8 feet and large, and adding a new stern wheel and larger one, and it grew.
It grew. And finally, how many passengers could you haul?
Well, 150 on Discovery One.
Well, that was the maximum.
Mm-hmm.
And we were still back at the University of Alaska, and we don't want to jump too far.
Okay.
So there was a couple of comments that I think that were in order regarding the university. You went to the University of Alaska for 2 years, is
mm-hmm.
that correct? And
yes.
You majored in what?
Well, it was fisheries or pre-fisheries.
And that came to an end in 2 years. And where did you go then?
Well, then I went back to Oregon and worked for my brothers at their cannery. And they were commercial fishermen, and I had three brothers living on the coast of Oregon. And they had helped me with my expenses at school. Very difficult for girls at that time to be able to work in the summer and earn enough money to pay for all of their school year. I worked during the time I was going to school, but it was nice to have these older brothers to help financially some.
Mm-hmm. And during your, you were at Ketchikan?
Oh, the summer of 45, during my freshman and sophomore years, I was on a fellowship at the Fisheries Laboratory in Ketchikan.
Uh-huh. And what did you do there? What was your participation in that?
I was a student learner, and so various people, some of the chemists, the home economics major there was working on various cannery products and fishery products. So I worked a lot with her, and I did work with a project of my own of gathering kelp and making from some old Russian recipes kelp pickles and kelp preserves. They were like watermelon rind preserves, and mm-hmm. it was just, and they did try to do that commercially a few years later, but this was just all experimental. But it was a wonderful experience.
And following that period of time, did you go back to Oregon?
Nope, not till 1946. I'd been here 2 years. I just went to Ketchikan for the summer and then right back to school again.
And then in 1946, back to Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
And then how long did you stay in Oregon before you returned to Alaska?
Well, close to 2 years, a year and three-fourths. And I went to Oregon State that fall, but for the first term, and by that time my savings was all used up, and I had met Jim in the meantime, and so I took a job in Portland to earn some money for my upcoming wedding.
Oh, we'd love to hear about how you met Jim and your upcoming but first, we gotta do these things. You know, there's a number of people in Fairbanks here and Interior Alaska who sponsor Alaska Gold Trails, and I have five very fine sponsors. And I'd like to tell the people out there about one of them. One of them that is especially connected with the placer mining industry, and of course that's Hector's Welding, located at 13 Mile Richardson Highway. And Hector, of course, was on the show not long ago, a couple of weeks ago, with me. And he shared some of his ideas. And one is that his son Ken and daughter-in-law Donna are now taking over Hector's Welding. And Hector is just around once in a while for a little special information, if you have it. But he wants everybody to know that they still are producing quality placer mining equipment. And in addition to the placer mining equipment, they can replace dozer blade liners and rebuild loader buckets and ripper shanks. They do heavy equipment repairs and modifications, but always keep in mind that mining equipment fabrication is their specialty, including sluice boxes, conveyors, feeders, grizzlies, and screening plants. They also fabricate specialized riffles and punch plates. And, of course, that's Hector's Welding, located at 13 Mile Richardson Highway. And if you'd like to give them a call, their number is 488-6432. And you know, wherever Alaska's miners are working, Hector's is the first name in gold recovery equipment. Once again, their phone number is 488-6432. And let them know that you heard about them here on Alaska Gold Trails from Jim Madonna. Another one of our fine sponsors that has always supported Alaska Gold Trails, of course, is B&L Pond. They've been with me ever since the beginning, back there 2 years ago when we started the program, and they're located at the corner of Gaffney and Cushman. And a lot of people say, why, it's the most unpredictable variety store in Fairbanks. And as far as I'm concerned, folks, that's an understatement. It's more like having a giant garage sale in one room. They got everything over there. A few of the items that they have, jewelry, clocks, stereos, headphones, guns, scopes, winches, and I could go on all day long regarding all the many items that they have over there. In fact, you can get anything at B&L Pond. B&L traditionally has offered tremendous savings, but in addition, if you tell Killer you heard it on KFAR, she'll even sweeten the deal. And if you tell her you heard it from Jim on Alaska Gold Trail, she'll even sweeten it more. As a matter of fact, we were over talking to Killer the other day, and she's mellowing out in her old age, and she's starting to give better and better deals to everybody that comes in and says that she heard about B&L Pond from Alaska Gold Trails. That's B&L Pond, corner of Gaffney and Cushman. Their phone number is 452-6491. They're open from 9 to 7, Monday through Friday, 9 to 5 on Saturday, and on Sunday, 12 to 5. Once again, their phone number, 452-6491.
Each morning during Problem Corner, hear all the latest developments live from Valdez, Monday through Saturday, with Pat Lynn and Kerry Anderson. They'll bring you up to date on the latest inside details on the oil spill, what's being done and how. The Valdez Report, every morning during Problem Corner in the 10 o'clock hour. It's brought to you live in the public interest by Rockmeyer Optical in West Valley Plaza and by James Chrysler Plymouth Dodge at 1804 South Cushman. Golden Valley Electric members residing in Districts 5 and 6, don't forget to vote for your board representative. Ballots must be returned to GVEA by 5 p.m. May 12th in order to be counted.
Once again, folks, we're here with Mary Binkley. If you'd like to give us a call and ask Mary a question or make a comment on Alaska Gold Trails, the number here is 479-TALK. That's 479-8255. Now, Mary, we were deep, deep into this romantic portion of your life back there. What year was that again?
Well, let's see. I met Jim in 1946 on campus. He'd just gotten out of the service, and I was finishing my sophomore year. It was my 20th birthday, and I thought he was very nice, tall and handsome and had a big smile.
Well, he'll keep that in mind.
And the special thing that I was interested in is that he was a riverboat pilot, and my girlfriend, Beverly...
It wasn't the smile. It wasn't that he was tall and handsome. It was that he was a riverboat pilot. Jim, well, keep that in mind now.
That was a little bit influential, anyway. And we were going back to Oregon that summer, and we had talked about trying to go on the Yukon River to White Horse or to Dawson and then fly from there. We thought it would just be a great adventure to be in the Yukon, and we'd heard of George Black. So when I met Jim, he mentioned he was a pilot, had worked with George Black, so and knew him. So that really caught my attention, and so I was getting all the information I could about that.
And let's carry that a little bit farther. You met Jim, and tell us about your Mr. Black. And
well, I found out that Mr. Black, George Black, never took passengers on his boats. They were strictly freight boats, so they didn't have facilities. But it was worthwhile checking on it, at least. And then Jim and I dated for about 6 weeks before I went back to Oregon, and then he came down to Oregon later that summer. So we weren't too far away, and he attended school that fall in Portland, and I was going to school in Corvallis at Oregon State that fall.
And so wait a minute. Where was Jim?
He was in Alaska, but he came out for medical reasons that summer.
At where?
To Portland.
To Portland, and you were at Corvallis.
Well, I was in Newport, and then that fall I started to school in Corvallis at Oregon State.
I see.
And he was going to school in, and he stayed in Portland and went to school in Portland.
I see. And you visited one another.
Oh, yes. And wrote.
And wrote. And I see. I just wondered how far apart these towns were. Like, were about 300 miles?
It was well, maybe less than that.
It wasn't less than that.
Maybe 200.
Maybe 200. I can see what was developing here. And you got married the next year.
Mm-hmm. In 1947.
And you came to Alaska.
And then we stayed in Seattle, and he was working at Boeing's, and then we came back in the spring of 48.
Oh, I see. So there was what? How long?
I was gone maybe a year and three-fourths or so.
Okay. And is that when you started with the riverboats, or?
No, then we came back, and he started working on the riverboat down in Nenana, and then with that flood of 48, we had to leave. I had to leave Nenana, and our oldest son, Skip, was expected that fall. So Jim got a job here in Fairbanks, so he would be here during the summertime and not on the river.
I see.
So we lived on campus. He was working at the university power plant that late summer of 48.
You talked about the little riverboat that you had in the beginning.
Mm-hmm. The Godspeed.
The Godspeed. I've heard of the Godspeed. And also, there is a book out that was written about your family and the riverboating that you have done. Who wrote that book?
Oh, Ken Sturgis did, and it was published last summer, called Four Generations on the Yukon.
Is that right? And I wonder what inspired Kent to write such a book. He must have recognized your colorful life and the many things and contributions you've made to Alaska.
Well, we've known him for many, many years. I think he's sort of went to school at the same time our oldest son, Skip, did. He was a good friend. And then he made the trip up the Yukon in the summer, late June of 1987, when Discovery 3 was making its maiden voyage up to Fairbanks from St. Mary's. It had been built in the Seattle area, Whidbey Island, and then came on a barge up to St. Mary's, was towed up, and then under its own power up here. So Kent was familiar with the boat, and he followed it and reported on its journey up the Yukon and its construction in Whidbey Island. So he just had an idea that it would make a good story.
I want to talk a little bit more about Discovery 3. We have Discovery 1.
Mm-hmm.
And we have Discovery 3.
Well, there's Discovery 2 in the middle there.
Okay, well, let's talk a little bit about Discovery 2 before we launch into Discovery 3.
Well,
when did it originate?
Well, it was built here in Fairbanks about 1953, I believe, by George Black. And he was the river freighter, very colorful fellow, nice fellow. And this was his first stern wheeler that he built. It was all steel, and he operated it. And then soon after that, he did drown. He fell off one of the barges down at Minto, and they aren't sure if he had a heart attack or what, but they never did find his body. And the boat carried freight, and then it was used as a ferry down at Nenana before the bridges were built, going across the Tanana River. And had some hard use, and we purchased it in 1968. And then we were going to make a barge from it, but Jim thought it was too good, and so he reworked on it and through the winter months, and by 1971 had it all redone, new superstructure and new decks and all, and made into a passenger vessel. And we started it in 1971, July.
Oh, boy. And then we, you know, since 1971, we've seen a lot of things happen in the state of Alaska. We've seen the pipeline, near the end of the 70s, we saw a mini gold rush here in Fairbanks. And a lot of people came up when gold reached the height of $850 an ounce. A lot of people were entering into that. Did you notice that? Did your business prosper during those years, or did you feel the increase in population?
Well, we did. I think that tourism was a steady increase just because it was a new industry and more people were becoming aware of Alaska. So tourism that we're strictly in, really, in the summer was growing during those years. But during the pipeline, there were more people here. There were a lot more charters, a lot of weddings on the boat, and expense was no detriment to some of these people. Mm-hmm. They just money was easy to make, and they spent it very easily. Awesome. So we did certainly felt the effects of the oil pipeline.
Uh-huh. And have you seen a growth in tourism over these past, let's say, from 1980 until present? Have you felt an increase in the tourists?
Definitely.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. A big growth since 1980. We were just operating Discovery 2, and sometimes Discovery 1 is a backup. And there would be times when, in the 80s, when we would go out with two boats in the afternoon. But very definitely big growth patterns, and we could see it coming, and so we had to make plans maybe 2 years in advance before we ever started construction of Discovery 3 to have it built. And it was too large to do here during winter months and too cold, and so we had to have it built in the Seattle area.
Mary, I want to talk a little bit about a couple of my fine sponsors here, and then I want to get back and talk a little bit more about Discovery 3 and some information that would provide those people out there in interior Alaska some valuable comments regarding the Discovery 3 and how they may take a better look at the route that it took from its source to Fairbanks, Alaska.
This is definitely going to be a big Saturday at JCPenney with the Night Into Day Sale, the Discover America Luggage Sale, the Mother's Day Sale, Fashion Expo 89, and Jerry and Glenn are broadcasting live from JCPenney from 1 to 4 p.m. on K-Wolf. There'll be free drawings for some super prizes, including a set of luggage, and incredible savings throughout the store. And Jerry and Glenn will be right there in the thick of it to tell you all about it. 1 to 4 this Saturday at JCPenney downtown and live on 98 Rocks KWLF.
Well, I want to take a few minutes, folks, to tell you about my good friends over at Gabe's Truck and Auto, Gabe and Kathy. Whether it's an auto, light truck, motorhome, or big rig, for the best service in town, it's Gabe's Truck and Auto Repair. And that's not just my opinion, folks. The Fairbanks Chamber of Commerce gave Gabe's Truck and Auto their prestigious Raving About Fairbanks Award for providing the best vehicle service in Fairbanks. Gabe's has two large shops and eight mechanics on hand to serve you. With that much attention, you'll get fast, courteous service and have your vehicle back in a hurry. In addition to engine and general vehicle maintenance, Gabe's can also repair automatic transmissions, realign front ends, and repair mount and balance tires. New and rebuilt engines come with a 12-month or 12,000-mile warranty. As you can see, Gabe's is a one-stop service center. And if you need an IM inspection, folks, I always say this. Gabe's was probably the originator of the no-pass, no-pay policy. Remember that. If you go in for an IM inspection, your car doesn't pass, you don't pay it. Gabe's Truck and Auto. And don't forget Gabe's towing service. He's got three large wreckers there waiting to serve you. Getting a tow as easy as calling 456-6156. You might want to write that number down, folks. Put it in your glove compartment just in case of an emergency. 456-6156. You can turn your rag into a ride at Gabe's Truck and Auto off Van Horn Road near Metro Field. Specifically, that's 2058 Donald Road. Or give them a call. Once again, their number is 456-6156. That's Gabe's Truck and Auto. Another one of my fine sponsors that I like to talk about, he's been with me for 2 years now, or I should say they have been with me for 2 years now, and that, of course, is Tip Top Chevrolet Buick. They're located at 1916 South Cushman, and their phone number is 452-8211. And by the way, folks, you better put that information down because it just might be worth a silver ingot or a silver coin to you if you have this information easily at hand in the future. The Tip Top Chevrolet Buick has been in business for 32 years. It's been owned and operated by three generations of Ginthers. Bobby Ginther is currently the general manager, and when you see Robbie Ginther on television, you know, he's like kind of like having one of the family talking to you there. And I recall one of his advertisements on television. It goes something like this. You've never driven anything like the 1989 full-size Chevy pickup available right now at Tip Top Chevrolet. It's the hardest-working pickup with the longest regular cab in Chevrolet history. And it's got a new chassis system, a new aerodynamic shape with a new rear-wheel anti-lock brake system, and Instatrak shift on the fly on the four-wheel drive. The 1989 full-size Chevy pickup. It's new, it's exciting, and it's here in Fairbanks at Tip Top Chevrolet, your Chevy Team Alaska dealer. Drop on over and take a look. And don't forget, folks, buckle up with Tip Top Chevrolet. That's Tip Top Chevrolet, located at 1916 South Cushman. And their phone number, once again, is 452-8211. And once again, we're here with Mary Binkley. Got a couple of minutes left if you'd like to give Mary a call. Our number here is 479-TALK. That's 479-8255. Mary, tell us a little bit about how, we got a couple of minutes here, how did Discovery 3 get to, I'll tell you what. Let's let a caller have the question. Hi, you're on the air with Mary.
Hi. I wanted to ask Mary, when did she first meet Murdy Boggan?
Well, Murdy Boggan was a very dear friend of mine, and I think we built on University Avenue about 1951. The Wilcox lived in their house, had the property at that time, and I think the Boggans might have moved down there in the mid-50s, you know, it's really hard for me to remember, but that's when I first met her, was when she was a neighbor down in, they lived right in the river of University Avenue, and that's before the bridge was built
right there.
So
right.
That's where University Avenue was a little dirt road, and it ended, and you knew all the neighbors.
Yes, that was the good times in Fairbanks.
Oh, it really was. Really nice. And she was a very special person.
Yes, she was. I knew her quite well, too. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Mary, tell us, you know, there was a tape made of Discovery 3. Tell us,
Yes. Tell
the people where they might obtain that tape. I saw that tape presented on television. I thought it was the most marvelous adventure, where can the people obtain that tape?
Well, we have it for sale on the boat and at our office. I don't think it is sold anyplace else, but it was produced by Princess Tours. They commissioned a young fellow who was a deckhand for us for a year, when he, a junior cub deckhand when he was only 13. And he's grown now, and that's his business, is doing videos, and they did a very professional job. And it's the story, a documentary of the boat coming up the river, really. It was brought on a barge to St. Mary's. Then that barge was sunk, so the boat floated free and then under its own power. And our oldest son, Skip, and our youngest son, John, brought it up.
Well, and what's your phone number over
it's
there?
It's 479-6673.
And they can phone you if they would like to make reservations on the boat. And I'd like to add something. You know, my family comes up here. When they come to visit me, I always send them out on the riverboat Discovery, and they always rave about the journey. In addition to that, if you have friends or family, you might want to call the Binkleys. Once again, what's the number, Mary?
479-6673.
And if you want a copy of the tape, same number, 479-6673. Mary, thank you for joining me on Alaska Gold Trail today. It's been a pleasure.
Oh, it was a fun time. Thanks, Jim.
Next week, ladies and gentlemen, my guest will be Shorty Zucchini. So join us then, and I want you to all know that I appreciated spending the time with you today and appreciated our wonderful guest. And once again, you're listening to KFAR Radio 660 on your radio dial right here in Fairbanks, Alaska.
From ABC News, I'm Doug Limerick.
I have a profound obligation, and that is as Commander-in-Chief of the Armed Forces and as President, and that is to protect American life.
President Bush justifying his ordering of about 2,000 American troops to Panama. He says he wants more of a U.S. military presence. In light of this week's events in Panama City, ABC's John Bascom is standing by right now at the Pentagon. John, where will the troops come from?
Well, some 1,700 Army soldiers will come from Fort Ord, California, and Fort Polk, Louisiana. Another 165 Marines from Camp Lejeune, North Carolina, Doug.
Where will they be stationed once they reach Panama?
Well, they'll be spread out among some 10 U.S. installations down there. They'll be based on American property, but they'll be free to roam around the country.
John, haven't there been quite a few confrontations between U.S. troops and Panamanian troops in the past?
Yes, there have. In the last year, there have been a number of violations, some of them technical, some of them serious, including actual firefights between the Panamanian Defense Forces. And in the last 24 hours, the PDF even picked up three U.S. recruits and held them for 3 hours because they were taking photographs.
ABC's John Bascom reporting live from the Pentagon. On Capitol Hill, many members of Congress are praising the president's actions in Panama. Senate Minority Leader Robert Dole says the United States is merely rallying behind the Panamanian people.
It's not the ugly American trying to dominate. We believe the people of Panama want freedom. They're entitled to it. They voted for it, and they ought to have it.
The president says a number of Latin American countries are also protesting Noriega's invalidation of Sunday's election and the violence against opposition candidates. I'll have more news after this.
AT&T, may I help you?
I'd like to make a collect call from Tracy.
Sure, I can.
I have my AT&T card, but I've heard that if someone really loves you, he'll accept a collect call from you.
I see.
It's okay if he doesn't.
Hello?
AT&T, collect call from Tracy. Will you accept charges?
Well, sure.
There you go, Tracy. And thanks for using AT&T.
Trace!
Whenever you need a helping hand, you can count on AT&T. We take you right there and keep you this close. AT&T, the right choice.
You know, right about this time of day, a break with some nice hot Campbell's vegetable soup would be just the thing. So warm, so delicious. It'll make you feel... mmm, good.
Mmm, good. Mmm, good. That's what Campbell's soups are. Mmm, good.
Soviet leader Mikhail Gorbachev has told Secretary of State Baker that the Soviets would unilaterally withdraw 500 short-range nuclear missiles from Europe this year, but Secretary Baker's already said the Soviet proposal does not go far enough, that the U.S. is opposed to reducing short-range weapons in Western Europe. The first test flight for the controversial Midget Man missile lasted about 70 seconds. That's all. The Air Force says it veered off course shortly after launch and was then blown up. The Air Force says the test was still, as they put it, a qualified success. That because about half the test flight's objectives were achieved. Philippine police have arrested a communist rebel officer in connection with the murder of a U.S. Army Colonel James Rowe. Several weeks ago, Colonel Rowe was shot and killed on his way to work in Manila. Retired Air Force General Richard Secord has been indicted again in connection with the Iran-Contra affair. He had previously been indicted for conspiracy. Now he's been charged with 9 counts of perjury, of lying to Congress when he denied that he profited from the arms sales to Iran. It just so happened that as today's indictment was being unsealed in Washington, Secord was in court in nearby Virginia being convicted of DWI. He was given 30 days in jail, but that was suspended. A tractor-trailer truck hauling heavy machinery lost its brakes on a mountain road in western Pennsylvania. The 18-wheeler barreled into Laughlin Town, Pennsylvania, with lights flashing and horn blaring. The big rig then slammed into several cars before it careened into an apartment house. 2 people in the truck and 3 in the car were killed. On Wall Street, the Dow Jones closing up 8 points at 2383. This is ABC News.
Chuck Jaeger here announcing AC Delco spring rebates. Now through July 16th, you can get up to $27 back on selected parts. Get $12 back on Delco batteries with a purchase of 2 and $420 back on Delco wire sets when you buy 2. There's rebates on Delco thermostats, AC spark plugs, oil and air filters, and PCV valves. Up to $27 in all. Participating retailers have rebate coupons and details. For the nearest one, just give me a call at 1-800-AC-DELCO. Rebates end July 16th.
For the ABC Information Network, I'm Doug Limerick.
This is definitely going to be a big Saturday at JCPenney with the Night Into Day Sale, the Discover America Luggage Sale, the Mother's Day Sale, Fashion Expo 89, and Jerry and Glenn are broadcasting live from JCPenney from 1 to 4 p.m. on K-Wolf. There'll be free drawings for some super prizes, including a set of luggage and incredible savings throughout the store. And Jerry and Glenn will be right there in the thick of it to tell you all about it. 1 to 4 this Saturday at JCPenney downtown and live on 98 Rocks KWLF.
Warcraft is having a gigantic carpet and vinyl remnant sale. You'll find savings up to 50% on beautiful vinyl remnants this Friday and Saturday only. Also, while...